When you give a presentation, you want to say who, what, where, and when. Mine is a little different, but let's see, where. Where is Croatia? Well, on our map, on that map, you can see that Croatia is up here, right across from Italy. And on this map, you can see this as well. Here's Zagreb, which is the capital, and here's Karlovac, which I spent most of my time. Many people, when you say you've been to Croatia, they'll say, "Is that close to Russia?" No, it's right across the Adriatic Sea from Italy. So it's really, you know, some of the food that they eat is influenced by Italy. There's Italian food. They like pizza. But also, the further north you go, like in Zagreb, the influence of Hungary is seen and tasted. Okay, so it's a mixture of a lot of different cultures, which is pretty interesting. I wanted to talk about who. Obviously, I was the one that went to Croatia, but in Providence went with me to Croatia. You all went with me in Croatia, but there are folks that are in the Croatian subcommittee that I wanted to really point out. There's Gail Burford, Jen Cravo, Don Maurer, Dave and Rachel Mine, Terry Caldwell, Justin Brothers. They were all involved in the trip to go to Croatia. I couldn't have gone without them. So there's Dave Mine there. There's some of the folks that helped make the wedding soup, which we raised a lot of support, a lot of finances that I was able to go through selling the recipe that Sandy Higgs gave us for wedding soup. Okay, I want to tell you why. Why Croatia? Why is Croatia special in my heart? I basically talk about that I'm twice adopted. I'll tell you why I'm twice adopted. Physically, I was adopted, but spiritually, God has adopted me, which was amazing. And I am blessed to be able to tell that story that, you know, adoption has always been very important to me. This picture is actually the earliest picture I have of myself. Okay, in this picture, I'm probably about 20 months old. Okay, the earliest picture I have, I was in basically an infant home, and with all these kids. Likely, I wasn't cared for that. Not what you have. You all with your babies and the care that you give your infants is tremendous. I didn't have that. But again, God has blessed me. So,
which one, you?
Oh, okay. Well, I want you to guess. Okay, left or right? Yeah. No, right. This is me right there. This is my twin over here. I have a twin brother. Yeah, really. So I was in this infant home till I was placed with my adoptive parents at age 2.5, and then legally adopted at 3.5. Okay. This is my mother. That's the social worker. I actually called the social worker up one time. She was probably in her late 80s at the time, and I said, "I may have become a social worker because of you." I wanted to make her feel good. Okay, which one am I here? Any guesses? The one on the right, yeah, with the big head. Yes, poorly shaped head. Okay. So when I was, when my brother and I were age 30, we decided to do a search. Okay, this is back in the 80s. You didn't have the internet then. Okay, so conducting a search was pretty difficult. We were born in Cleveland, Ohio. Don't hold that against me, okay? But especially today. But we went to the state capital, which is Columbus, Ohio. Actually, we were able to get our birth records. And for the first time, at age 30, I found out what my birth name was. My birth name was Jerome Zorch. And his name was Thomas Zorch. And in the place where it signified mother, her name was Blanca Zorch. The space for my father was empty. So what did I do with that information? I decided to call, so I knew my birth mother's name. It's Blanca Zorch. Okay, so got a Cleveland phone directory, called her up, and I told her, and remember what the pronunciation of her name was Zorch, okay, but it's spelled Z-O-R-C. So I called her up, I said, Mrs. Zork, because I didn't know any better. Mrs. Zork, I'm looking for information about the family name Zork. Can you answer some questions? She answered, who are you? What do you want? And I said, well, does the birth date February 1st mean anything to you? She said, no, who are you? And I said, well, do the names Thomas and Jerome mean? No. Was your maiden name pronounced Strometsky or something like that? And she said, no, she pronounced it Strometsky. But she was getting increasingly anxious. So I said to her, ma'am, I'm not going to bother you anymore. Here's my phone number. Please give me a call back. If you know anything about the Zork family, obviously she pronounced it Zorch. And so I ended that phone conversation thinking I'd never hear from her again. 5 days later, she called me, and she knew who I was, and I knew who she was. But within 2 weeks, my brother and I went up to see her in Cleveland, and we had a great discussion. We asked several questions, one of which was, you named us Thomas and Jerome. Why did you name us Thomas and Jerome? She said, she told us that she had just recently immigrated to the States from a displaced persons camp. This is 1952. She's in a displaced persons camp from 45 to 52. As you know, that's right after World War II, and so many people were placed in displaced persons camp for political reasons, whatever. My half-brother was born in Italy in a displaced persons camp. But so she just came to the States in 52. She was learning the English language. And so we asked, you know, why did you name us that? And she said, well, there's cartoon characters named Tom and Jerry. So so that's how we found out. Okay. So why had she placed us in an infant home, basically an infant warehouse? This, by the way, is a picture of my birth mother and my half-brother, Ted. She's passed away. He's still alive. We had a great relationship. We really did. And she had a great relationship with my adoptive parents. My brother and I both, when I was married in 86, and then my brother was married in 88, she attended both our weddings. My adoptive family just accepted her. It was a great relationship. My half-brother's still alive. He's in a nursing home in Cleveland. So we ask, why were we placed in an infant home almost immediately after our birth? Well, basically, she said we were an unwelcome pregnancy from an unwelcome relationship. Okay. And I looked at, here's a picture of my parents, my father on over here, my mother there, my half-brother there, my birth mother, Blanca, there, and myself. So we had a great relationship. But God has blessed me. And I look at Genesis, the chapter in Genesis when it talks about Joseph. And you guys know the story, how Joseph was sold into slavery. How eventually he ended up in prison, and then because of his ability to interpret dreams, he was placed in second in command in Egypt. Okay. So what happens, there's a worldwide famine, and Joseph's family, Jacob is the father. They all come to Egypt to find food. Eventually, Jacob dies. So his brothers, who had sent him into slavery, now that their father is dead, they think that Joseph's going to take vengeance on them. So what happens when they're in front of Joseph? Joseph said, "What man meant for evil, God meant for good." And I just love that verse. I gotta watch my time. That's that verse. Okay, here we are. Finally, I get to Croatia. Here is Almir's father, Asim. We're eating a typical Croatian meal. The small sausages, which are called cevapi, and with ivar, that red sauce there is ivar. It's red pepper. It's a red pepper sauce. It's very good. I don't know what I'm drinking there. It's a Karlovac something. I don't know. But why my interest in Croatia? Well, I want to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as I said, Croatia is going with me. So additionally, why is it important that we have a mission to Croatia? Well, Croatia is 99% Roman Catholic. However, many people don't attend church. The reason why they're Roman Catholic, it's mostly patriotic, okay? They had the homeland war in the 90s, okay? And it was basically a war against other countries like Serbia. It's interesting. Serbia is 99% Orthodox, okay? So under the guise of religion, people say that they're if they're Roman Catholic, they're Croatian. If they're Orthodox, they're Serbian. Isn't that terrible? I was just talking to my friend from college here. We were talking about Ireland and Northern Ireland. What did they do there? They for the purpose of patriotism, and they say, well, we're Roman Catholic, we're Protestant. Isn't that terrible? But Croatia needs reformation, just like we need reformation. Since 2016, when I first visited, my intention was to encourage a small Reformed church, especially a church in Karlovac, where Almir Pehlić is the minister. We continue to want to encourage the churches in Croatia, and this is the first lecture I had on. Let's see. I arrived in Croatia on a Wednesday, after flying from Tuesday to Wednesday, and the next day on Thursday in Karlovac, I lectured at Christ the King Church. My lecture was on Calvin's view of the sacraments, and with particular emphasis on baptism. So here I am speaking to the group. With that's Almir right in the center there. This is an interesting story because this gentleman, the taller one there, can you tell he's taller? The taller man there is a Baptist minister. He drove 3 hours to come to this lecture. I'm sure it's not because of Denny Baker. It's because he wanted to hear about Calvin's view of baptism. And actually, the lecture went well. I had some questions, and I'll speak to those questions in a little bit, but the reason why this Baptist minister came, he's had an ongoing discussion with Almir through the years, and because he's Baptist, he had some theological issues with infant baptism, and as opposed to believer's baptism. Well, afterward, Almir and I were walking back to where I was staying, and Almir was very excited. Almir doesn't get excited. He's not the most animated person, but he was very excited because this Baptist minister was telling him after the lecture that he's becoming convinced that that the Reformed view of baptism, the Reformed Presbyterian view, and the Reformed Episcopal view of baptism is the theologically the correct one. So that was really exciting. Additional questions. There was a gentleman in the as I spoke in English, Almir translated to the folks in Croatian. There was a gentleman in the back that asked a question about baptism, and it's a very interesting subject. His wife was baptized in a Jesus only congregation where. She wasn't baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Calvin's view of baptism is that if a minister baptizes you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, you're baptized. Okay, it's the words and not the minister. It's not the person who officiates. It's the words that are used. So that was a very interesting question. Obviously, the question also comes up. If you're baptized as an infant and then later on become a believer, do you need to be rebaptized? And that's a question we find in the PCA as well. But basically, Calvin's view is if you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, wherever you're baptized, you're baptized. So it's interesting. I'll take some questions afterward if you'd like. But here are some of the folks. In Christ the King Church, that you see me in the back. That's the gentleman that was asking the questions. Here is the Baptist minister right there. Do you see Almir? Almir dresses in a Geneva gown, because in Croatia, if you wear a coat and tie, you're looked upon as a businessman. You're not looked upon as a minister at all. Not as someone who preaches God's word. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Okay, this is Almir. He and I are taking a five-hour train ride to Split, which is, Split is, here is Zagreb. Here's Karlovac, which I spent most of my time. That's where Christ the King Church is. And Split is way down here, which is a beautiful place. It's and we'll describe it. I'll describe it to you. But on we did it on Saturday afternoon, and on, let's see. Then we arrived at the church in Split. The gentleman, the taller person again. This is his name is Igor. Igor is close to getting his master's in divinity, his MDiv, and basically right now he's a lay preacher, but that's the church there in Split. Here's Split, beautiful place. It's on the right on the Adriatic coast. The culture is more Mediterranean, okay, and we were there, I think it was like September 25th. It was like it was in August. Okay, it was beautiful. So many tourists, but it's a beautiful place. Here's Igor and Almir. We were at Diocletian's palace. Diocletian was the Roman emperor that martyred many Christians I believe it was the 4th century. And he built a retirement palace in Split. Later on, a church was erected over his tomb. So while he martyred Christians, okay, he was overcome by Christians. So take heart, Christians. Okay, take heart. Here's some pictures. Here's Almir taking a selfie with two Roman guards. And here's that picture. Here's Igor and I. Igor is not only the lay preacher and soon to be minister in Split in this church, he's also a tour guide for this Diocletian's palace, and he took us on a tour. I have tons of pictures, and we don't have the time to show all the pictures. But here's, inside the palace. Here I am, in the Geneva gown. Okay, you can ask questions about that. But when you go to a different culture, okay, you wanna preach God's word. It's not about how you're dressed. When Almer came here about 3 years ago, he wore a business suit because when he preached. That's what we do in the States here, okay? But in Croatia, if you're preaching God's word, and technically I'm exhorting, you wear the Geneva gown. So what did I preach on? The doctrine of works. Okay, basically, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I want to quote that for you. Quote that for me, Don. Thank you. That separates for many years. The controversy has been works versus faith, and that's the split we have with the Roman Church. Okay, they believe that we have to have good works. Well, those good works. Well, once God has in His grace has given us faith. Okay, God has called us to do works, and He has enabled us to good works. So anything that we do is still tinged with our sin, but God has blessed us because we're able to do good works. And I believe going to Croatia was a good work. Here in Split, there's a 23-foot statue of the Bishop of Nin. And why is he important? Well, he basically battled with, and again, this is probably 5th century. Those of you guys who know history better can correct me later. But he battled with the Pope because he wanted the preaching to be done in the vernacular, meaning the vulgar language, which is the language of the culture, not in Latin. Okay, so even in the 5th century, they were arguing about this. And people need to hear the gospel in their language so they understand it. That's so important. Here we're taking the train back. Okay, you recognize Gail Burford here. She and Don and I went to Croatia in 2018. This lady here, her name's Valentina. She is a army officer. She was a paramedic working on, going on helicopters, and she had just started her nursing education, obtaining her nursing degree in 2018. She found out that I was, and we, what we did, Gail and I went to McDonald's in Karlovac, okay? We didn't want to go to McDonald's in Karlovac. I mean, and Almir loves McDonald's. I don't like, if you're in Croatia, you want to eat Croatian food. Anyway, Valentina had asked Gail and I to meet her at McDonald's and witness to her. So we shared the gospel with her back in 2018. Okay, she found out that I was coming back to Croatia, to Karlovac, and it was interesting. She was graduating from nursing school in September, and she invited me to her graduation and then to her luncheon afterward. It was incredible. So, I'm honored to do something like that. She remembered me, and she thought it was just kind of neat that I was there when she started nursing school and now when she's completed. And you can see she's an army officer. I think she's soon to be a captain. So pray for Valentina that the words we've talked to her would bear fruit in her heart. Here she is at the lecture the following Thursday. This woman here is Almir's sister. She's a social worker in a skilled nursing facility in Karlovac. I wanted to talk a little bit about that lecture that I gave the following Thursday. We talked about the Lord's Supper, and again we had several questions. And the Lord's Supper, Calvin's view of the Lord's Supper and studying that has been just very interesting and very helpful to me. Okay, Calvin talks about the real presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper, meaning that the bread is bread, and the wine or the grape juice is grape juice. Okay, and by bread we're fed physically. Okay, but by Christ's body, we're fed spiritually. The bread and wine doesn't change. Okay, unlike the Roman view, but we do believe that we are fed spiritually from Christ's body, and we can drink of His blood. The real presence of Christ feeds us, sustains us. What a great theological point that is. I may have some questions about that, but it's great. Bread is bread, but it sustains us. Christ's body sustains us spiritually. What a great thing that is. This is I'm in Zagreb here, and this is the art museum. Beautiful, beautiful place. This is Karlovac. I have a couple pictures of Karlovac, which is just a beautiful place, and it's dear in my heart. Another picture of Karlovac. This is a moat. Down here is a moat. It was basically on the frontier when the Ottoman Empire was so dominant from like the 11th century up until the 18th and 19th and 20th century. They almost overcame Europe. And Karlovac was right on the frontier. So this moat here would be flooded to stop the Ottoman Empire armies. Here's the church in Karlovac. You can see it's a very small church. That cross, we were able to, several years ago, collect money. Providence was able to collect money, and we bought that cross for them. Here's Almir. Almir is a Boston Red Sox fan. The reason he's a Boston Red Sox fan is his favorite author is Stephen King. Okay, he's quite the character. Okay, but Stephen King, being born in Maine, is a Boston Red Sox fan. Here's a beautiful picture of Karlovac. This is just a walkway. It's just people walking up and down this way. I don't know if you can see on the side. There's cafes. People sit in cafes and drink their coffee. They maybe get one coffee and they'll sit and talk for 2 hours. And their coffee's a little stronger than ours, but it's very good. I love this picture of these two little girls right off where I just previously showed. Karlovac is a very safe city. The whole Croatia is very safe. The fact that these two little girls were all by themselves, I didn't see any parents around, but it just speaks to the safety of Croatia and just childhood innocence that I love. Okay. This picture, I wanted to read. There's in Psalm 16, it speaks to how the psalmist says, my lines have fallen in pleasant places. And I see this as I look back through my life, God has blessed me in so many ways. The fact that I was born to a Croatian woman, the fact that I was in an infant home for several years and then adopted by very nice people, had a great childhood, became a Christian when I was a teenager, and being able then to find my roots and meet my birth mother, finding out that it was that she was born in Zagreb, Croatia, and having a heart now for Croatia, It's just been a blessing. And I see how God's worked in my life and how God's worked in this church and how you folks have all helped our Croatian mission team to support our trips to Croatia. And thank you for that. The reason for this picture is I've been communicating via mostly email to my half-brother's relatives. So in some sense, I have distant relatives in Croatia. And I wanted to meet them when I went back to Croatia. They live in Zagreb. And so we emailed back and forth. And you always wonder, do people who have never met you really want to meet you? And what's the reason why I wanted to meet them? Okay, so there was some a little bit of anxiety there, a little tension. And the day that I wanted to go meet them, Almir and I had traveled to Zagreb. He had to do some things in Zagreb, and we finally finalized with my half brother's niece that I would meet them at 5 o'clock in Zagreb. So we had taken the train from Karlovac to Zagreb, and Almir left me and said, "Well, I'll meet you back here at the train station at 7:30." Okay, so how long was this meeting going to be with my half-brother's niece? I didn't know. But I went to their home. She greeted me with kisses on both cheeks. Her daughters shook my hand. And, well, I think this is going to be a relatively good and pleasant meeting. Well, as we went along, now this is 5 o'clock, the big meal. In Croatia, culture is lunch, okay? But at 5 o'clock, they got out all these stuffed olives with cream cheese in it, stuffed peppers with cream cheese. It was great. White wine, it was just tremendous. But I was able to share with them pictures of my birth mother, pictures of my niece's grandfather, who was the father of my half-brother. It gets kind of confusing. But I was able to share pictures with them that were well over close to 70 years. And I know my niece started to cry. It was just a great time. And we talked, and I showed them pictures of my grandson. We just had a tremendous time. And it was getting to be about 6:45. Okay, and I got up to leave because I said I have to get back to the train station, and I knew it would take at least a half an hour to 45 minutes to walk to the train station. And my half-brother's niece said, no, stay, and we'll drive you back to the train station. So that was just amazing, and we promised to continue to communicate. Just yesterday, I have letters that her grandfather had mailed to my birth mother. I have those letters because when my half-brother went into a nursing home, we cleaned out his house and found these letters. I just emailed her a letter from 1974 from her grandfather to her to Blanca, my birth mother. He used to call her Molly, which in Croatian means small one. It's just great. But this is my niece. That's obviously me, and that's her husband. She's about 61, 62. That's her husband. He's in his 80s. He's had some physical problems. Here's a picture of, again, my niece and her two daughters. They live in a nice apartment that has been destroyed to some degree by the earthquake that occurred in March of 2020. Their bedroom, the master bedroom, still in disrepair. There's they showed me a huge a hole in their master bedroom that has to be fixed. Here's another picture of my half-brother's niece and her daughters and her husband. They showed me some pictures, and as you can see some pictures, there might be some history of nobility in their family, which is great. Okay. The last Saturday I was there, okay, Almir's parents asked me to come to lunch, okay, which is just a very high honor. When a Croatian family invites you into their home for lunch, they love you, they care for you, they're your friends. Once you become a friend to a Croatian, you're a friend forever. You really are. But this is Almir's father, his mother, and here I am. You can see she started all the food. We had a little bit of a, there's a shot glass there. If any of you guys know my love of Slivovitz, just a little bit of Slivovitz. It's a plum brandy, okay? So, but she starts piling potatoes on my plate. I didn't ask for the potatoes. She just piled the potatoes, and it was a, I think it was a lamb and brown gravy. It was amazing. You can see how much food there is, but that was a great, just a great honor, and it speaks to the friendship that we share. That last Sunday that I was there, I exhorted at Christ the King Church again about saving faith and how saving faith, not by works, but by the grace of God, that we have saving faith. And after that worship service, Almir and I presented to the Christ the King Church what you at Providence has done for them. We raised, and this is not something that we publicized before I went, because I didn't want everybody to know how much money I was sending. Okay, but this church raised $2,600 for the church and Christ the King Church and the other churches. Amazing. Thank you. You're a blessing to the churches in Croatia. And the people were overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed by it. When they see pictures of our sanctuary and all the people in there, they're just overwhelmed by it, because it's a very small church. And as Almir has said in the past, when I've asked him, would you rather us send you money or send people to visit? He says, send people to visit us, because we're a real encouragement to them. As you can tell, we're a real encouragement to the people, to the Protestant church in Croatia. We also show them the book that several of you people wrote, greetings to them. They were overwhelmed. This last slide is the Lord's Prayer in Croatian. And I know some of the words, but to Oči nas koji jesi na nebesima. I'm not real good in English. You can my Croatian is even worse. But that's the presentation. What questions do you have? Yes, Grace.
So, did you know Tom Smith and his work in Croatia before you started connecting with your brother and wanting to go to Croatia to reconnect your roots? How did that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. Back in 2010, I put off doing additional searches. When my birth mother died in 1997, and my children were growing up, I kind of put off that curiosity until a little bit later. In 2025, my half brother sent me some information about a possible name of my birth father. I got increasingly interested, but it was about 2010 that I went online and tried to find a Protestant church, a Reformed church in Croatia. At the time, there was a minister there that's no longer a minister there, but he had told me, well, there's a missionary that comes to Croatia, Tom Smith, and he's from Western Pennsylvania. Huh, that's interesting. So I reached out to Tom Smith, that many of you know. Tom's been here. He's preached here. He's a great guy. He and I started a relationship, and we're good friends this day. He invited me to, he got married last week, and he invited me to his wedding in Iowa. I wasn't able to go to Iowa, but we've been good friends. He's been such a blessing to me. He's been such a blessing to the churches in Croatia. So again, as we go through our lives, we see how God blesses us through the years, okay? Whether we're young or old, let's look back and to see, count our blessings, as the song says. And Don knows this. I'm not a music person, but when we, you know, the hymns that we sing, we're gonna I think the choir's gonna sing today for all the saints, for all the saints, and it's for all the saints. It speaks to not just this body here. It speaks to the body of Christ throughout the world and how we can bless one another throughout the world. So we're all saints. We're all called to be sanctified and holy ones. And someday, when the saints come marching in, we will see each other as we really are. We'll be able to you folks, if you never go to Croatia, you'll be able to hug the Christians from Croatia because truly, Providence, you are a part of a body that's blessed the churches in Croatia. So, yes, another question. What is his name?
No, where does he go?
There's a seminary in Osijek, which, and he's doing a lot online too, is because of COVID. Osijek, here's Kalavac, here's Zagreb, here's Split. Osijek is right there. I've been to Osijek now. It's a great college town. I've been several cities in Croatia now, and it just, again, the blessing I've had to be able to travel and to go, see places. If you ever have a chance, if you ever want to go to Europe, and you want to do it a little less expensively, go to Croatia. I mean, it's got mountains, it's got the Adriatic Sea, it's got the plains, okay? It's got everything almost that the states have, but it's much smaller. You can get to places in a few hours. It's great. So, other questions, comments? I can share more things. Yes?
Yeah.
Good question. He's now the executive director of IDEM, which is International Theological Educational Ministries. And what he does is he coordinates with ministers throughout the states to be able to go to different parts of the world and do short-term educational ministries in those countries. He's recently been to Uganda, and so let's see. When I was going to Croatia, he was going to Canada. So he goes out throughout the world supporting ministers to go to different countries, and that's perhaps our ministers here at one point in 2020, seven of us were going to go. We were going to go to Germany, to Croatia, and to also to go to Italy. Where we in Germany. Phil Gelston is in Germany. He's an American that ministers at a church in
Wiesbaden.
Thank you, Bob. And then Mike Cuneo ministers at a church in Italy. So we're going to go all three places, and hopefully we can do that someday if God blesses us. So, but just amazing stories. God has come full circle. In some respects, I wrote something after I saw my half-brother's niece that I've come full circle to some degree. I'm an orphan, okay, when I was placed in an infant home, okay? An orphan, and just like... any of you read Great Expectations? Who's read it? Okay. Pip. Okay. Pip is an orphan. Okay. And, he has great expectations. Okay. I guess I had great expectations, despite the fact that I was born and placed, and I was an orphan. And yet, God has used those situations and caused my life to bring glory to God. Not because of me, but because of him. And I thank him daily for that. If there's no additional... yes, Grace?
Second choir, are we going to have the opportunity to give towards their Christmas food baskets that they do as outreach?
Yeah. Good comment. Thank you. Yes, every year this church is given some money for, and I didn't have I had a picture of this, but I didn't put it in here. There's a homeless shelter. It's an actual building in Karlovac that we've given the Christ the King Church monies for a Christmas gift to the homeless shelter. We raise the money, it's sent to Croatia, and they buy the food. So if you'd like to do that, talk to me, and I can share with you how to contribute to that that ministry. Okay. If there's no additional questions, I'll ask our pastor who blesses us with his sermons. And I, you know, getting up in front of people and being able to speak, I really appreciate Ray and Rick, because they preach the gospel. They encourage us in this church, and we are truly blessed. So, Ray, would you close us in prayer?
I just want to thank you, Denny, for this encouraging report. Hope you were encouraged and how God does use each one of us to bless Christians across the world. And, you know, they're a blessing to us as well. And you read that letter from Amir to the session, which was just a really neat letter that he wrote to us. And just very grateful for our fellowship in Christ. And we're hoping that God will continue to use our two churches to continue to glorify his son and bless many people. So thanks, Denny. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you and praise you for what you are doing through us. And as Denny said, sometimes even in spite of us, Lord God, we know that we are sinners and you are the faithful God and Father of us all, Lord. How we pray you'd continue to bless your people over there in Croatia at Christ the King Church, Lord God. We pray for Amir. We pray your blessing upon his ministry, that you would cause your word to find good ground in the hearts of your people in Croatia. And how we pray that you would cause many more to come to know the Lord, to be saved, and that light would be bright, Lord God. And Father, we pray for ourselves as well, that as we prepare to worship you, that we would do so in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
If anybody has individual questions for me, I'd be glad to answer them. I have a few things from Croatia on the piano table, and I'll share that letter that Amir gave us, you know, when I can. I you know, it's something I didn't think to do, but thank you all. Yeah.
Just for